just worship all over this building. Come on, just worship all over this building. Just worship. In the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I just felt God just really do something marvelous in my spirit. I felt the prayer answering God. I know we know God in many facets of God. We talk about God in many ways. But right then, I felt the prayer answering God. The God that answers prayers. Can you give God a clap offering for me, if you will? Come on, give it up to the Lord. Listen, let's celebrate all that has taken place today. This is a marvelous, marvelous time in the kingdom of God. This is a marvelous experience. I want to go directly to the word because there are some things that I do want to impart in your spirit. But I'm so grateful for the team and the staff and everybody that have worked so diligently to just bring forth the vision of the Lord. And I know some of the team been here since 6 o'clock this morning. So I pray that y'all don't go to sleep when I start talking. Amen. But listen, I have some good friends in the building today. I want to thank God for all of our guests that are with us. We're so grateful that you chose to worship with us today, to experience this shift with us. We are in a shift. We're trying to understand it ourselves. Amen. And we're so glad to have you to be with us on today. I do want to acknowledge my good friends. Amen. The president of the Rockmont Chamber of Commerce, my friend and leader, David Farris, and his wonderful wife, Marianne. We love you guys. David told me in a board meeting on Wednesday that he was coming to Truth Tabernacle on Sunday morning. Amen. And I'm so glad he's here. And I told him, don't worry, we have an intermission about 11:30, so we'll let you out. And then we'll keep going. Amen. But I love you. Thank you for being here today. And to everybody that's here in this worship team, oh my God, I love y'all. All right, get your Bibles and go with me to the book of Isaiah. I celebrate my wife on today. I got to do that. And I just love you dearly, amen. And thank God for you, amen, as we walk together to do what God said. Isaiah 43, if you will, verse 18 through 25. And, well, I'm going to start at verse 16 for my purposes. But you have the word of God, Isaiah 43. I'm going to read verse 16 and 17, and then verse 18 is where I want to accentuate. Thus now is the reading of the word of God, Isaiah 43:16. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who bring forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot get back up. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. But then verse 18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. For behold, I am doing a new thing. I want to read that again. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Can everybody read that line with me? Shout it out. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I want to talk from the subject this morning. God is up to something again. God is up to something again. Just tell somebody, God is up to something again. God is up to something again. He's doing a new thing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God is up to something again. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not see it? God is up to something again. The phrase that a person is up to something again, or is up to something, means that somebody or someone is moving and operating with some kind of degree of secrecy, some element of hiddenness, or they're doing something and they have not quite told you the total content of what they are doing. We don't know quite what they are doing, but we do know that they are doing something. I used to love it with my two daughters, my beautiful Shalala on the organ and my precious Stephanie and Winston-Salem. When they were little kids growing up, they always kept me in a perpetual state of doing something. I was always intervening in their lives, always trying to interrupt cycles of negativity, always trying to solve problems. I was trying to surprise them with cars and bicycles that we ran into people's mailboxes as we trained them. I don't know what it was about my girls. I'm training them to ride the bike, and they decided that the mailboxes were more interesting. I brought surprise Stephanie with a Toyota. She gets up in the morning, drive off to school. 5 minutes later, she come back home crying, "Daddy, I ran into the mailbox." But I was always trying to make their birthdays exciting. Valentine's Day was my specialty, trying to see if I could cook them some Valentine pancakes, do something that would surprise them, always trying to give them the desires of their heart. I guess you could say I was always up to something. Most of it, however, was a dad-induced action or scenario. They didn't ask me to do these things, but it was something about those two girls, Lamar, that they had my heart. And they knew how to manipulate me. All of it was dad-induced. They knew when to manipulate, but most of it was dad-induced, just because the spirit of love compelled me to keep doing things for them. The intervention in their lives was based on my desire for them to be the best girls a man could have. Can I tell you right now, I believe, I don't care what y'all think, I got the best girls a man can have. Okay, don't worry about the haters. Don't worry about the haters. All right. I was operating from a vision for their lives to be great, for them to make an impact in life, in society. Because in my estimation, when you're young, you're too young to know your potential. You're too young to know the world. So somebody with some halfway decent wisdom and knowledge need to intervene and create a path for them to move through life and to give them the tools to navigate through life. Well, enough about me. Because the scripture says this: if you, Haywood, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall God give good gifts to his own children by his Spirit. I came to tell you today that just like I was always up to something in their development, God told me to tell you today, he's always up to something with us. And whether you believe it or not, even when it's silent, God is up to something with your life. I tell you to make that confession real quick. God is up to something again. God is, come on somebody, God is up to something again. So I came to announce on behalf of God that the text suggests in the prophet Isaiah that God is up to something again. The text calls it a new thing. No. Immediately then, the text grabbed my attention and caused me to identify with it when he said God is doing a new thing. Because I don't know about you, but I'm at a point in my life where I could use a new thing. Is there anybody here today that say, Bishop, I can use a new thing. I can use a new thing. God never created us to get stuck in a place and stay there permanently. If you are stuck, it is not the will of God for you to be stuck in a place that you cannot maneuver yourself out of or you cannot get out of, because God is a God of new opportunities. He's a God of new favor. He's a God of new relationships. He's a God of new energy. He's a God of, watch this, new money. Come on, somebody. He's a God of new joy. If you're old joy is stale and stuck, God is a God of what? New joy. He's a God of new peace. He is a God, watch this, that gives fresh manna to his children every day. Every day. Y'all remember the children of Israel? Amen. Where God every day woke up and gave them what? Fresh manna, fresh manna. He's a God that the Bible declares. He's a God of new mercies and new grace. Every morning when I wake up, I have new mercies. Greater is the faithfulness of God. So God told Isaiah, I am about to do something that is consistent with my character. I am about to do something that is commensurate with my reputation, and that is, I am doing what? A new thing. In other words, God says, I am up to something again. Thank you for walking with me this morning. The text focuses then on God's ability, watch this, to supernaturally intervene into the affairs of his people. And his ability to interrupt the cycle of bondage that is keeping them from getting to their destiny, keeping them from getting to their promise. In other words, God had a promise over Israel's life, and God had promised them that he was going to bring them into a land called Canaan, flowing with milk and honey. Watch this. And they were going to enjoy the finer things of the kingdom. I'm not just talking about houses and cars, but I'm talking about the goodness of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. So God says to them, I see you stuck in a place, and I have never created you to be what? Stuck. Come on, watch this. So God says, watch this, because I see you stuck, and it is not my will that you be stuck. And I'm going to make up, y'all know I make up words in the pulpit. And you cannot unstuck yourself. I did that right in front of the chamber president. Amen. You cannot tell somebody I can't unstuck. God says, since you cannot do it, Brenda, God says, I am going to do a new thing. Not you, not Haywood Parker, not the bishop, not Truth Tabernacle, but God says, I am going to be the only one who's going to have ownership of this new thing. I'm going to be the only one who is going to engineer and craft this new move. I dare you to shout, God is doing a new thing, a new thing.
Watch this. God says, this is something that I am doing out of the sovereignty of my will. I am doing it out of my God consciousness regarding you and your future, because I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and to give you an expected outcome. God says, in my God consciousness, I already know the plans I have for you. So when I look at you and you are long ways away from what I had planned for you, God says, I'm going to do something about it. I am going to initiate an action out of my need not to allow you to live in bondage, not to allow you to live in slavery and oppression and disillusionment. I am going to do something because I have seen your weariness. I have seen how tired you are, and I have seen your frustration. I have seen the inequities of the system. I have seen the disparities, and God says, I am about to do something. God says, I, meaning what? God. I want to keep highlighting that word, I, because sometimes, and I'm going to talk about this in a minute, when we see something happen, the danger of it is we try to figure out who did it. And God says, Heywood, tell the church that this shift didn't come from you, Heywood Parker. It came from God. God. I means that I am the creator of it. I am the originator. I am the owner of this new thing. Nobody owns it but God. This is important. Watch this. Because the one who owns it has a responsibility to sustain it. Come on, somebody. Yeah. That's why I'm saying, God, this is your thing. This is your thing. Now, in verse 16, God says to Israel, let me remind you of a time when I did a new thing. Watch this. God says, thus saith the Lord, the God that did what? Made a way in the sea and a path in the mighty water. God says, let me remind you of when I did a new thing. He says, y'all remember when y'all were in Egypt and when you fell into 400 years of Egyptian slavery and you cried to God? And I sent Moses to deliver you from Egypt through the Exodus. God says, you remember I started bringing you out of Egypt? And do you remember when you confronted the greatest barrier that you had ever confronted? You remember when the Red Sea was in front of you and Pharaoh was behind you? And your only option was death? Y'all miss me on that one. With the Red Sea in front of you and Pharaoh behind you, your only option in your mind would be what? Death. But God says, can I remind you that I did something new? God said, can I remind you that I did something new means something that hadn't been done before. New implies something that you have not seen. God says, remember right before your eyes, I parted the Red Sea. God says, remember you were standing there and I made an I-95 right in the Red Sea. I made a 440. Right in the Red Sea, God says, remember, watch this, that I sent the winds from the corners of the earth and they caused the waters to part. And then watch this. And the winds were so forceful that I made a wall on each side and you passed right through the highway and the water didn't overtake you. God says, don't you remember that? That is something I did. Somebody shout, that was a new thing. I'm going somewhere with this. Somebody shout, new thing, new thing. Because what I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't matter what position you're in right now. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. God says, I'm the God of a new thing. Watch this. I can take old stuff and use it to make new stuff. Because when God gets ready to do something new, he don't have to create it out of nothing. He can take what exists and transform it until it becomes new. Y'all don't believe it? The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. God took me. I was old, messed up, a sinner. But I stand up today to shout, I am brand new. Somebody shout, I am new. I am new. God did something new. Now watch me, because Isaiah messes with my mind. So in verse 17, after Isaiah takes the time to talk about what God did new, he says, and let me tell you some little details of that experience. He says, I took the chariot and the horse and the army, and I made them lie down, and they couldn't get back up. When your God knocks your enemy down, come on, God says, I'm going to knock your enemy down, and this time they won't be able to rise back up. And God says, I put them behind you. But then I was all excited. I was just dancing like, oh, God, I just want to thank you. You did something new. You opened the Red Sea. You killed Pharaoh and his army, and they got drowned in the Red Sea. And in my prayer time, I was like, oh, hallelujah. I serve a God that just killed Pharaoh. Okay, I'm just talking about how excited I was. And then I kept reading. And then I read the next verse, and then God said, now forget that. God says, forget that. I said, what? He says, forget that, and don't even think about it anymore. Now, I'm going to just tell you how I talked to God. Because I said to God, God, what do you mean, forget that? What do you mean, forget that? What are you talking about? That was too incredible to forget. Anything you do like that, I ain't. I'm going to just tell you like we talk in our language. I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Can we talk, y'all? Can we talk? I ain't never seen nothing like that. Just tell it like you say it. God says, I don't care. He says, forget it. I don't want you to dwell on it. And I said, Isaiah, help me to understand why God is making this demand on me. Why God is suggesting that that he has done such an incredible thing, he turns around and asks me to forget it. You got the answer. God says, because I am doing something new. Now watch this. And he says, I don't want your old thing to box me in into how I do my new thing. Because God says sometimes the biggest barrier to embracing the new thing is expecting it to look like the old thing. And God says, if you're looking for me to look like I looked before, you're about to miss me. If you're looking for me to come like I came before, you're about to miss me. He says, because the new thing is not going to look like the old thing. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to take the new thing and I'm going to exceed what I did with the old thing till you won't even recognize that this is God. And sometimes God does stuff that blows blows our mind. But because it doesn't look like what we have seen it before, we don't want to call it God. God says, let me show you something. Let me show you something. Let me show you something. And this blew my mind. He says, in your exodus from Egypt, what was your biggest barrier? It was water. It was water. It wasn't even Pharaoh. Because if the water weren't there, we still had a chance to get away. But the biggest barrier was what? Water. So God told Isaiah, watch this, go back to where am I? I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm doing a new thing. I'm making a way in the wilderness, and watch this. I'm giving you water in the desert. So watch this, what God says. So the thing that used to be your barrier is now going to be your blessing. Because when I do my new thing, I'm going to take what was against you and I'm going to turn it to work for your favor. I'm going to take the forces of evil and I'm going to reverse them. I'm going to overcome them. And the very thing that used to be your barrier is going to become your blessing. God says that because the water, Lord have mercy, they couldn't pass. But now I'm going to take water and I'm going to give them water in the desert. So water is not a barrier. It's a blessing. Water is not a barrier. It's their strength. It's their survival. It's their ability. It's what's going to happen. And I ain't the smartest cookie in the world, but I know that water means the Holy Ghost. And so God says, I'm going to send a fresh wind of the Holy Ghost right in your dry place, right in your desert place, right in your hard place, and I'm going to use water to bless you now. Now I said to God, and then I'm gonna be about finished in a few minutes. So I said to God, help me understand what this new thing really is, because it's one thing to announce a new thing. But I want to be able to articulate and specify what this new thing is. And God told me, I'm going to put you, Hayward, inside the mind of the prophet Isaiah. And so it was in my study that I took a trip all the way back to Jerusalem, right in my office. And God put me in the mind of Isaiah. And God says, look what Isaiah said. I am doing a new thing. Do you not see it? Do you not perceive it? And do you not know it? And I was honest with God. No, I don't see it. No, I don't know it. And God says, get in the mind of Isaiah. And this is what God says. I took Isaiah and I took him all the way down the corridors of time. I took him through the halls of history. I took him to the future. Y'all don't hear me here. And I showed Isaiah that just like I made a way for Israel out of Egypt and I open up a way, he says, Isaiah, this new thing is really called Jesus Christ. So that Jesus is the new water. Jesus is the new way. Jesus is not only a bridge over troubled water, but he's a way in the middle of the water. Somebody shout Jesus. Shout Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. I need some help up in this sanctified church. Shout Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, he is the way. You don't believe it. He met the woman at the well, and he said to the woman, I can give you water, that if you drink of my water, you'll never thirst again. Jesus taught that I will be inside of you, a river of living water springing up like life. So Jesus told Isaiah, forget what I did in Exodus and look down the hallways of time, because I'm about to do a new thing. I'm raising up a new Messiah. I'm raising up a new prophet. I'm raising up a new kingdom, and we call him Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. No. That was my theological lesson. But God says, I didn't bring you to church on Sunday morning to preach a theological lesson. You got to make practical what I have done in this church. I birthed a new move in this church. I am doing a new thing. I said, well, then God, help me to talk about it. So let me slow down. God says, tell them, I didn't say I did a new thing. God said, tell them I am doing a new thing. Because many of us talk about the shift as if it is something that was done. I came here to tell you, the shift is not done. The shift is in the doing mode. I don't want y'all to be impressed with my English. The shift is in a doing mode. Doing is a verb. Doing is not a moment in time. Doing is not an event. Even though we're having an event today, today is not the shift. I miss some of y'all. Today is not the shift. Today is just a celebration of the new thing. Today is an initiation that publicly we tell God we're willing to participate in the shift. We don't know what it's going to look like. We don't know where it's going. We don't know the end, but you got my participation. Somebody say doing. Doing is a verb that implies perpetual movement, continuous action. Doing refers to the constant activity of God as he intervenes in our lives to keep moving us towards something greater, something bigger, something better, something more powerful, something that's coming out of his mind. I don't know about y'all, but there's an energy being released in this church. I ain't talking about just the church. I'm talking about my church. There's an energy being released in me, and all of a sudden I'm moving in another direction. I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. I just somebody to shout with me. I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. Y'all can't give me no help. I said shout with me. I'm going forward. I'm not looking back, because I feel something pushing me to my future, pushing me to my destiny, pushing me to something bigger, something greater, something more powerful, something more wonderful. I got more work to do. Lord have mercy. God says, watch this, I am doing a new thing. Now, notice this. God says, do you not perceive it? Do you not see it? What keeps us from seeing something that God is doing? Can I talk about it real quick? Sometimes we can't perceive it because we want to take credit for it. And because you ain't got no credentials in the credit line, then you can't see it. But I'm glad when I read the text, ain't nobody got no credentials in the credit line. My name ain't even up there. Because God says, I am the only one in the credit line. We can't perceive it, watch this, because we want to control it. When you want to control something, you'll miss the essence of what it is because you can't control it. And this is how God had to deal with a Hayward Parker. God says, and sometimes you can't perceive it because you want to craft it. You want to put strategies to it. You want to put directions to it. You want to make it look like you think it ought to look. And God says, can I just talk about it? This time, I don't need your mind. Because if you control it and you craft it, it's not going to look like what I'm trying to do. When God is doing a new thing, we have to be careful that our perception of it does not cause us to make it ineffective. God says, what keeps people from seeing new things? Negativity. Sometimes we're just so negative about everything. We're just negative. We're negative in our spirit. We're negative in our mind. We're negative in our thoughts. And we start perpetuating negativity. Okay, it got quiet in here. Now this is the part that God told me press my way. Right? Because I'm standing up for God today, and I'm telling God, this is your thing. This ain't Hayward Parker thing. And I'm not going to let negative attitudes, negativity, I'm not going to let nobody's negative talk cause us to make this movement ineffective, because this ain't our movement. God says sometimes what keeps us from perceiving it are the words coming out of our mouth. Bible says we are snared by the words coming out of our mouth. We're saying things like, this is never going to happen in truth. Okay, here we go, here we go, here we go. The same old thing. Okay, I know what's going to happen. It's going to run 2 weeks. It's going to die out. We got to be sure in this God move that we do not allow the words out of our mouth to cancel out the prophecy. I'm pressing my way, and I'm real clear today. I'm real clear today. God told me this is a God thing. So in my conclusion, God says, just say it again. Behold, I am doing what? A new thing. Somebody shout it out. Behold, I am doing what? A new thing. That means it is a God-induced, Spirit-led, Holy Ghost-filled movement. It is a God-induced, Spirit-led, Holy Ghost-filled movement that does not need earthly intervention. I'm going somewhere. So God says, this is a moment where I recognize what was necessary. This is a moment where I looked at my children and I said, I want to do something wonderful for them. I want to get them out of that stuck place because they cannot unstuck themselves. I just love my English. And God says, what I'm about to do, the bishop ain't even smart enough to think about it. What I'm about to do, the pastor ain't deep enough to make it happen. What I'm about to do, the board members can't even sit around the board table and strategize their way out of their stuckness. Because what they're going to do around the board table is recreate the old and package it in a new form. God says, y'all don't need a new packaging, repackaging of the old. You need something new. So the Lord says, what shall be our response? Say with me, perceive it, believe it, receive it. What shall be our response? Say it again with me, perceive it, believe it, receive it. Say it again. What shall be our response? What are we going to do? Perceive it, believe it, receive it. Perceive it through the eyes of the Spirit. Believe it through the power of your faith. And receive it with an open heart and an open mind. And as I close, God says, remind them of something old that I did for this church. And then tell them to forget it. God said, In 2016, when your back to Tabernacle was against the wall, and it looked like things were over, God took the song of Travis Green and told us to prophesy, "You made a way." When our back was against the wall, when we were standing in front of the Red Sea, God said, "Sing the song, you made a way." Not that you're making a way, you already made the way. God says 2016 was a financial wall, and Truth Tabernacle needed, in 6 days, $150,000. And I said to God, "We don't get that kind of money in 6 months. And now our back is against the wall. And the bankers are saying, you got 6 days to come up with $150,000. I went into a manic depression. I came into the service that night and I sat down and I was like a zombie. I was out of it. Because in my mind, we were standing against an impossibility. But God said, "Don't you remember that I had somebody to call you?" And they said to me, "Bishop, God told me," don't let the mics mess up on this, "God told me to give you $100,000. I thought y'all would be more enthused. The person said, "God told me to give you $100,000. And I'm so nervous, I ain't nervous now, I'm just, and I said, "Okay, this is what we would do. We're going to write you some kind of contract up, a promissory note, and we're going to pay you back when we get able. Now, we weren't even able to do nothing. But we're going to pay you back when we get able." And the person said, no, "You didn't hear me. God did not tell me to lend you $100,000. God did not tell you me to let you borrow $100,000 and you pay me back. God told me to tell you to give you $100,000. And I was about to fall out in my chair. I tried to stay on the phone with the person so I could be halfway astute or whatever. But I was like, "Oh, my. I was out." And then that was $100,000, but they said, "You got to have $150,000. And then one person called me and said, "Bishop, I'm going to give you $18,000. I was like, "What? Yeah, you can use this." And then another person called me from D.C. that I had made in my mind I wasn't going to tell them about the issue, because if I told them about the issue, they might try to do something about it. But somebody, unbeknown to me, told them about the issue. They called me on a Saturday morning. I was headed to Princeville, Tabor. And they said to me, "God told me to give you $10,000. I said, "First of all, how you even know what I'm going through?" Because I made my mind I wasn't going to tell you. And they said, "Somebody told me." And God said, "Told me to give you $10,000. And I was like, "Okay, God, you are awesome." And then before I could get to Tabor, bear with me a minute, that person called me back again and said, "And not only am I going to give you $10,000, but the organization is going to give you $20,000. And by that Saturday, in 5 days, we had $150,000 Because God did what? A new thing. Because God did what? God did what? And if he did it once, he can do it again. If he did it then, he can do it again. Somebody say, God is up to something again. Say, God is up to something again. But this time is not a financial wall. It is a spiritual wall. But God said, if I can give you cause to give you finances, I can open up the heavens to give you spirituality. I can open up the heavens and pour the Holy Ghost out on you. I'm going to pour fire. I'm going to pour vision. I'm going to pour revelation. I'm going to pour joy. I'm going to pour victory. I'm going to do a new thing. Somebody shout, it's happening right now. I dare you to shout, it's happening right now. Where are my sons and my daughters? Because God said, in this new thing, I'm going to pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. The young men shall see vision. Will my young men get ready to see visions? Will my young men get ready to hear a word from God? God is doing something. He's raising up water out of the desert. Y'all don't hear me here. I said he's raising up water out of the desert. That means folks gonna come in and start making a way, and you ain't gonna know where they came from. New faces, new folks, new energy, and y'all ain't no need for the old to get mad with the new. All of us better get in here together and tell God, yes, we're ready on this Sunday morning. Somebody shout yes, tell God yes. Can I get some help? Can I get some help? Shout yes. I wish I had about 10 people that would tell God yes. I don't understand it, but yes. I can't track it, but yes. I can't trace it, but yes. I don't know the strategy, but yes. One more time, somebody shout yes. One more time, shout yes. Shout yes. And if I did it once, I can do it again. I said, if I did it once, I can do it again. Why don't you pull that into your own life? If God healed me once, well, y'all, pull it into your own life. Say, if God healed me once, he can do it again. Pull it in your own life. If God opened a door for me before, he can. If God made a way, he can. Somebody shout, do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. I feel like running on this Sunday morning. I feel like shouting on this Sunday morning because I perceive it. I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it. Somebody to see it. Shout, I see it.
I see it.
I see it. But I believe it. Everybody stand on your feet. Everybody stand on your feet. I'm gonna tell y'all something. This is a great day in your life. I don't know how many people in here that's standing at the brink of needing a miracle. You're needing a breakthrough. You're needing God to show up. God says, I am so glad you're here because today I'm doing a new thing in your life. All you got to do is perceive it. All you got to do is what? Believe it. And all you got to do is receive it. I tell you to go for yourself. Don't be looking at nobody else. But if you need a new thing and you believe God is doing a new thing in your life, in your home, in your money, in your mind, in your body, on your job, I dare you to raise your hand and you begin to give God praise in your own way for the new thing. I dare you to open your mouth and shout for the new thing. Open your mouth and celebrate the new thing, the new thing. But I feel something about to break out in your life. I feel a shift in your life today. And I'm just trying to get you to celebrate before you get into it, because it's already happening. Now, God, we thank you today. I thank you for this word. I thank you for the revelation of your word. But more importantly, I thank you that you're doing a new thing. I thank you for it, God. I don't even have words to articulate what it's going to look like. I don't even have strategies to craft what it should be like. But what I do know, I am happy to be participate with you when you're doing it. So God, just do it. Raise it up afresh. Somebody today in this room, God, they need a new job. You know what? I believe you can do that right here in this room today. You can open that door. You can do the right thing right now. God, somebody here, they need a new body. They need new healing. They need deliverance. Somebody, even those who might need just new parts in their bodies, new organs. God, I know you can do it. If you created us once, you can do it again. So God, we're not gonna limit you. We're not gonna limit you. Somebody need new relationships. Somebody need a new marriage. Somebody need new joy. Somebody need new peace. Today, I speak it into this room that it is happening right now. It's right now. It's right now. It's right now. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, as we stand before God, everybody with worship, with worship. Don't pull away, because somebody in this room might not know Jesus in the pattern of their sin. And they're saying, preacher, before I leave this church today, I want to experience God in my life. I need a new thing. And to be frank with you, preacher, I believe that new thing has to start with God. So I'm in this room today. And if y'all pray with me and pray for me, I am willing to start with God today. I'm willing to surrender my life to God today.